Blog Talk Radio.
Talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, hope everybody had a great week. It's the weekend. Time to relax, sit back, enjoy yourself, talk a little sports, have a little fun, and that's what we do here on Go For It. And today we're expected to be joined by NFL Network's Michelle Beisner, who will talk about her interview and her time in Philadelphia this past week. She had a one-on-one with Mike Vick, and she's going to talk about everything with that situation. So it should be good to get that insight and to hear her insight on this particular story and this particular situation. Mike Vick will be starting this Sunday against the Jaguars and maybe starting for the near future. And also, Jared Cooper, former Panther, former Oakland Raider safety, will come on, and he's going to talk all things NFL as we talk about last week's action and talk a little bit about this week's action coming up. So it should be interesting, should be good to get the insight of all those individuals and all those people. And definitely we want to get your insight as well. And the number to do that is 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And look, the biggest story, obviously, is the Mike Vick situation and what's going on with that. And if you look at that situation, and it's a very exciting time for Mike Vick, and it's the opportunity that this guy's been waiting for a very long time. And you didn't think it would come this year. I mean, I didn't think it would come this year. I thought in many ways that with this whole situation, that Kevin Cobb, no matter what happens, would play out this year and would be the starter throughout this whole year. I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't expect Andy Reid to at one point, and throughout this whole past few weeks, he's been adamant about saying that Kevin Cobb's the starter, Kevin Cobb's the starter, Kevin Cobb's the starter. Plain English, simple English, best English I got. It was Kevin Cobb's the starter, Kevin Cobb's the starter. Now, fast forward, Tuesday, out of nowhere, basically, we're all blindsided by it. Andy Reid makes the decision. He changes course. He comes out and tells the media that now Michael Vick will be the starter of this football team. And in doing so, you just opened up a whole bunch of stuff there. I mean, let's be honest, Mike Vick played very, very well. And I don't know how you can tell your team that after this guy came in and nearly won the Green Bay game in the second half and then came back and threw for almost 300 yards against the Lions, 284 to be exact, that I don't know how you could I don't know how you could say that. I don't know how you can say that we got to put this guy back to the bench. You can't do it. I mean, I don't know how you tell your team that this guy has to go back to the bench. And with all that being said, you're surprised. You're surprised that, hey, how could this happen? I mean, how can Michael Vick be the starter here in this situation when yes, he played well, but you stated throughout this whole process that Kevin Cobb was your guy. And he was the man here in this situation. You traded Donovan McNabb, and your whole goal was to build with Kevin Cobb and the rest of these young receivers and Macklin, Jackson, and Celek and LeSean McCoy. Your whole goal there was to build with those guys. That was your goal, to build with those guys. And now you kind of change course a little bit with putting Michael Vick in the mix and making Michael Vick the starter. Hey, I can't argue with it. I mean, you got to make Michael Vick the starter because the guy has played well. I mean, he's played very, very well. There's no way you can sit him on the bench. There's no way. After what, the way he played, there's no way you can sit this guy on the bench. Let's take a quick caller here. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
How you doing today, Paul?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Two things. First, a comment, and second would be a question. My comment would be, if you remember, about a month before the season started, I called into the wonderful show, and I made this comment, and you laughed at me. You blatantly laughed at me when I asked if you thought at any point Vic would start with the Eagles and go with the Eagles. And I honestly believe that Vic gives the Eagles a better chance at winning. My question to you is, listening to some of the statements that the players are making and have made, do you think that Coach Reed's decision came not only with him but also with some of the other coaches and players in the locker room? Because it really seems like a lot of the coaches and players want Vic to start and not Cobb. And obviously, I think there's a reason for that.
Well, the thing about it is when you have a guy like Michael Vick, the way he performed these past 2 weeks, it's hard to tell a guy that after you just threw up almost 300 yards and after you in that first game you passed for 175 yards in the second half, it's hard to say to your team and it's hard to say to that guy and being Mike Vick that you need to sit down now. I mean, it's hard to say that. And I don't know how you can't sell that to your team. It's hard to sell that to your team. It's hard to sell to your team that, in essence, you're rebuilding. And I think that's what their plan was this year. They may not say it, but I think that was their plan.
Right. Well, I agree. I said, I'm not sold on Kevin Cobb. And that's just my opinion. It could be right. It could be wrong. My opinion is I'm not sold on him. I don't think that he's going to be the future of the Eagles. But football is it's what have you done for me lately. And all the times that Cobb has gone in, I watched that first game and I was sick to my stomach with his play. And it could have been a bad game or it could have been him, trying to shake off the jitters or, what may have you. But I just feel not only is Vic a better athlete, but he's a better quarterback.
Well, I think at this stage of the game, I don't really know what I get from Kevin Cobb, to be honest with you. I only saw two starts, two impressive starts, but I still don't know what to say about this guy at this stage of the game. But as of right now, today as we speak, if your goal is to win football games this year and ultimately be the best that you can be, then the best player in the best situation is Michael Vick as your starting quarterback, and I don't think anybody could disagree at this stage of the game. But in terms of long term, if you want to see what you have in Kevin Cobb here, and you believe that Kevin Cobb is a championship quarterback, as Andy Reid said, then in a lot of ways, I think in some respect, you may play this thing out and see what you have in Kevin Cobb. But ultimately, if you want to win football games now, here, today, your best chance is with number 7, Michael Vick.
Thank you.
So, he's right. In terms of winning today, if we're talking about winning football games on here today, your best opportunity, your best shot is with Michael Vick. There's no getting around that. There's no other way you can phrase it. There's no other way to say it. Your best opportunity is with Michael Vick. And, a couple of years ago when they brought in Michael Vick, you figured their opportunity and what they were doing and what they were their goal there in a lot of ways was their goal there in a lot of ways was to see what you have there. And what you have there in Mike Vick is the first year you had a guy who was just trying to get his feet wet a little bit and just playing football for the first time in like a year, 2 years to be exact. This year now you got another. He's another year under his belt, and you know now he's got his feet under him and he's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's ready to go, and he's proved that he can play. And he's played very well. Very well. I mean, you can't argue. You can't argue with the stats, man. I mean, 284 yards, and this guy's played very well. The crowd got a little excited, but if you look at Mike Vick and everything that he's done throughout this year, you can't argue with his play. Now, my argument has been my argument throughout this whole situation is if Mike Vick can win you a Super Bowl, and if you can tell me today that Mike Vick wins you a Super Bowl and Mike Vick makes you a Super Bowl team, then I'm like, you know what? Put the guy in. But I can't say that today. I can't say that with this Philadelphia Eagles team. I can't say that they'll win a Super Bowl with Mike Vick, and I think they should have stayed with Kevin Cobb and let this thing play out and see exactly what you have there with Kevin Cobb. But we are now joined by NFL Network's Michelle Beisner. Michelle, how are you?
Hey, Paul, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Now, let's get right into it, Michelle. I mean, you were in Philadelphia this week interviewing Michael Vick. What sense did you get from the team there?
Well, I tell you, it was quite a scene. And to be there and in the midst of the Philadelphia beat writers and local reporters there, I mean, it's no holds barred. Man, they just went after Coach Reed and pretty much berated him. One of the beat writers asked a very specific question, like as pointed as, hey, how can you do this? How can you, just from a moral standpoint, name Kevin Cobb the starter, and then the next day name Michael Vick the starter? And, you know, Andy Reid took the shots and took them well, and I think the bottom line is look, Michael Vick is playing better than I think anyone expected him to play, and it's an unfortunate
right.
situation for Kevin Cobb. You know, there was another question that asked very pointedly, hey, did Kevin Cobb, even though it's an unwritten rule in the NFL that you don't lose your job to injury, he essentially lost his job to injury, only playing one half of the first in week one, one half of a game, and then he was done. But, again, the facts are the facts. And when you look at Vick and his numbers in the last 2 weeks, I mean, 459 passing yards, three TDs, and 18 carries for 140 yards, I don't know how you can't not start Vick. Now, the locker room itself was pretty, that was a bit of a circus. You had a media, you know, firestorm around Vick's locker, and then you had the same deal with Kevin Cobb. I specifically asked what Kevin's initial reaction was when he heard that Vick was going to be the starter. And of course, you know, as you would expect, he said, I was very disappointed. I want to be out there. I know that I'm the starting quarterback and that I can do well in this league and that I do belong somewhere as a franchise quarterback. But the bottom line is I have to do what's best for the team. And, you know, Vick said the same thing. I had a great interview with Vick, asked him why he thought that Andy Reid was starting him over Kevin Cobb, to which he said, you know, I don't really know, but I have to go with it. My biggest concern was how Kevin Cobb was going to feel. Kevin and I have had a number of conversations. Kevin is okay with it. You know, we just know that we have to get through this together and have each other's back, and that's what they're going to do. And hopefully, you know, Andy Reid's decision is going to take this Philadelphia Eagles team far this season.
Now, did you get the sense there was a pro-Cobb or a pro-Vick faction in the locker room? Was everybody united here with this decision?
You know, again, I spoke with Jeremy Maclin. I also spoke with DeSean Jackson. And to DeSean, as the number one receiver there in Philly, I asked him, hey, how is this really going to affect you? Because an interesting point, Paul, is that Andy Reid in his presser said that he did not name Michael Vick the starter for just 1 week, that he was the starter from here on out. But when I spoke to Vic, Vic said to me that he was never given any assurance beyond week three that he would be the starter. So when I spoke with DeSean, I said, how difficult is that going to be? You know, going, what if you got Cobb 1 week and then it's, and then you're flip-flopping quarterbacks week to week? Does that present a difficult situation for you? And he said no. And Jeremy Maclin said no as well as pretty much the rest of the locker room. Whether they're saying this because this is what they need to say,
right,
or whether this is how they really feel, they all stood their ground and said that they believed that they were in a really great situation having two very, very good quarterbacks that can come in and perform if need be.
Now, Michelle, Vic had stated earlier that he was actually surprised by the news. Did you sense that he was really, really surprised by him being named a starter?
I got the sense that Vic felt like he was definitely worthy to be the starting quarterback, that he knows that he will be the starting quarterback somewhere, someday. I did get the sense that he was a little bit taken aback by the news, just because, as you know, I mean, if you during the off season you get rid of McNabb and you name Cobb your starter and he's your future, and then you know after six quarters of play, Vic becomes the guy because again he does so well. So I think there was a little bit of surprise, a little bit of I don't want to call it shock, but yeah, I think Vic was a little surprised. I genuinely feel like he thought that this was Kevin Cobb's team, and no matter what, no matter how well he played, I think that he thought that Cobb was going to be in starting week three against Jacksonville.
No, real quickly, Michelle, I know you have a little time here. There's a time you spent with Mike Vic, and he's a guy now, he went through the whole dogfighting situation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the sense that he really is a changed man? And this might be a hard question for you to answer, but has he really humbled himself at this point?
You know, it is a difficult question for me to answer. I actually, the last time that I was in Michael Vick's presence was when I was out in the Cayman Islands for the 2006 NFL Quarterback Challenge, which coincidentally did not air because it was right in the midst of all of the dogfighting allegations. It was at the very beginning of all of this. To me, you know, I haven't spent enough time. I didn't know Vic well enough before, and I can't make any sort of assessments to compare how he was then to how he is now. I will say this. He was very humbled. He was very grateful. He made sure that in every question that he was asked, that he answered it with just that, with a lot of, you know, he had a lot of thank yous for the organization. He, you know, thanks God in a couple of his answers. And I feel like he feels that, look, this, it's now or never for me. I've got to do right by this. I've been given a second chance, which maybe I should, maybe I should not have, but I've got to make sure that I do right by this. And I don't think, I would be shocked if he screwed this one up.
And just real quickly, what's the reaction around the league?
I think most people around the league, especially, you know, our guys here, I mean, everyone has an opinion. I think the bottom line is, though, you have to play. You play to win the game. And in a what have you done for me lately league, it's like, look, you know, what are you doing for me now? Vic is doing what he needs to be doing. And maybe morally, maybe it wasn't so great the way that he handled the situation with Cobb. Maybe instead of coming out on Monday and saying, you know what, we're going to take a look. Cobb has passed all of his concussion tests. We're going to take a look at the film, at the game film. We're going to see how it goes through the week, and then I will name a starter later in the week because I can't deny or ignore how well Michael Vick is playing. Maybe he didn't handle that quite as eloquently as he should have. But I think from a general standpoint, the guys here, at least at NFL Network, and from everyone that I've spoke to around the league, feel like Andy Reid made a bold statement and he did what he has to do to try to get his team to win games.
Michelle, we thank you for squeezing us in. I know you're doing your NFL Network duty. So we thank you for stopping by, and
absolutely,
we definitely appreciate your insight on this story.
All right, Paul, sounds good. You have a great day. Appreciate the time.
And make sure you call back at some point.
You got it. Will do.
All right, take care.
All right, have a great day. See you.
Michelle Beisner, NFL Network, squeezed us in here, and she was in Philadelphia, so she definitely has the insight, and she definitely has the pulse of that locker room and kind of the pulse of the city there. And it was some interesting and some good insight there. And if you look at Michael Vick, I mean, here's a guy with the situation with the dogs and everything. You know the story. Everybody knows the story. Doesn't need to go back into it. But if you look at this guy, I mean, like she said, you have to be humble. You can't help but to be humbled in this situation. I mean, you're getting another opportunity after you almost blew it. After you almost blew it, you are now getting yourself another opportunity. So you can't help but to be humbled in this situation, and you better be humbled in this situation. And, you know, we know he had the situation with the party this past summer and all that. But, hey, this guy now has the opportunity of a lifetime here. And, you know, he had the money issues and all that, but this is his opportunity to get paid again. So, Mike, don't drop the ball here, man, and stay humble and continue to play well and do what you do. We are have another caller. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
Hello. I think it's a bit unfortunate. Kevin Cobb, I think he's been with the team a little longer, and I think it's like a slap in the face. I can't believe that Andy Reid was this man on the sidelines. I mean, Vic, he's recently come to the team, what, a year, year and a half? I mean, how long has he really been there? And
well, you're talking to me. I mean, you're calling me.
I think it's...
let's talk about this, I mean, in terms of...
Cobb. I mean, really.
Let's stop you for a second.
He's more accurate than Vic, okay? Vic can run the
okay,
ball.
Okay, let's stop you for a second.
Cobb's a little bit more accurate.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. If you look at this whole situation, I know everybody got feelings, but when you got millions and millions of dollars on the line, when you got your job on the line, and when your job ultimately is to have your team win, feelings go out the window. If you get hurt, I know there's the unwritten rule, you're not supposed to lose your job to injury. But hey, when you have a guy who came off the bench and played as well as Mike Vick played and did all the things that Mike Vick did, you can't help but to have this guy continue to start. Now, I understand if Kevin Cobb is upset, disappointed, whatnot, and all this other good stuff. But he just got $12 million in his pocket. So, hey, he's got the money there. But I understand he wants to play, and I understand he was under the impression that he would play. But the reality of it, and this is football, and this is game, this is business, and this is the game that we live in sometimes, and this is the situation that we live in sometimes. Hey, if somebody comes in and outperforms you, at that point, no matter if you're hurt or what have you,
but he really didn't have a chance.
He
really hasn't had an opportunity to play. He got injured. Okay, the man, we can't deny that this man is a good quarterback. Can we?
I haven't seen enough to say that. I mean, I don't know what you. I don't know if you saw a lot, but I only saw two games. That being said, and I saw first half against the Green Bay Packers where this guy was abysmal. I mean, he was horrible. I mean, there's no other way to get around it. He played bad. So judging from what I saw on tape and what I've seen in general with this guy, he has proven to me He has proven that we don't know what we have here. If you can tell me otherwise, then your name is God. And whatever, your name is officially God because you know more than all of us know.
Paul, I'm not trying to say that. All I'm trying to say is give that man a fair shot. He's been there longer than Vic. I understand Vic, you know, he played good the last couple games. Okay, fine. Cobb, I think we, as Philadelphians, we owe it to him. Andy Reid owes it to him. Give that man a chance.
Well, and we'll thank you for your call, and God, we'll see how everything works out. But, again, we thank you for your call because you obviously know more than all of us. We only saw two games. Yeah, well, that caller, for whatever reason, again. Michael Vick, is a guy who deserves right now. He deserves the opportunity to start. And there's no getting around that. He deserves the opportunity to start. It was just my opinion throughout this whole process. It was my opinion throughout this whole process. Michael Vick does not make your team. It may not even make your team a playoff team. It's definitely not going to make you a Super Bowl team, because if you've seen that defense, 27 points against the Packers week one, another 32 week two against the Lions. So if you see this defense and all that that's in, with this defense, you realize that this is a guy, this is a team, excuse me, defensively, that is not good. It's just not a good defensive football team. And you put all that together, and that tells me, you know what, this is not a Super Bowl team. Therefore, you have to see what you have in Kevin Cobb. Because if you're sitting here telling me, on here today, Andy Reid is telling us that Kevin Cobb is a championship quarterback, if that's what you're telling me, then it's in my opinion that you continue with this championship quarterback, that you let this championship quarterback play this thing out. Now, I understand. Here's another thing to keep in mind. If you look at the offensive line with the Eagles, it's not good. It's not a good offensive line, not in the least bit. So in terms of whether Kevin Cobb would last behind that line, whether his health would be good throughout the whole season, I mean, I just don't think he would make it. With this line, I don't think Kevin Cobb would have made it through this season. So, from that end, you understand why Michael Vick is also maybe the starter. Maybe it's Andy Reid saying, look, I got this young quarterback here who I think is going to be good. But I also think if I keep him behind this line, I don't know if this guy will make it. So let me protect him here and let's put Mike Vick in, a guy who has proven throughout his career that he can get away from a rush, and that he's a guy who's proven that he can scramble, obviously, and he's proven it this year and he's proven it throughout his career. So let me keep him in there behind this line to protect him, to make sure that Kevin Cobb won't get hurt behind this line, because the reality of it is Kevin Cobb can't get away the way Mike Vick got away. Mike Vick got sacked six times last week against the Lions. Six times. So you figure he got sacked six times and got away from three, four, five other sacks. So you could, I mean, if that was Kevin Cobb in that game, you may be talking double-digit sacks. Now, you can also say that, again, Kevin Cobb's a guy who gets the ball out of there a lot quicker than Mike Vick and doesn't hold the ball long. But if you don't have any protection, and Kevin Cobb hasn't proven that throughout this year so far, he hasn't proven that he can get that ball out fast. He hasn't proven that. So he's proven it in the past, but he hasn't proven it this year, and he hasn't proven it in the preseason. So I just think right now, man, this may be Andy Reid like protecting his baby, so to speak, protecting his young boy in Kevin Cobb. Maybe he's protecting him now. And by protecting him, he's saying, you know what? Not yet, Kevin. Not yet. At some point, you will get your chance when maybe my offensive line is better. At some point, you will get your chance when the whole situation is better. But as of right now, Michael Vick has proven that he can get away from a rush and has proven that he can lead this team to victory. And if they go to Jacksonville tomorrow, and it's a game that they should win. It's a game that the Eagles should win. And you figure if the Eagles win that, they're 2-1. And then you got the big showdown with Donovan coming to Lincoln Financial Field. And how exciting will that be with Mike Vick in the lineup and Donovan on the other side? I mean, that would be very, very exciting. And it looks like, judging by what we're hearing, I mean, Michelle Beisner said that Andy Reid says this is a done deal. This will be Mike Vick's team through the course of this season. But also, Mike Vick stated that he was given no assurances that it would go beyond this week. So there's a little conflict there, but it seems like he's going to get a couple more starts. And judging by what I believe will happen tomorrow, he probably will get a start next week against the Washington Redskins and Donovan McNabb and those boys. So it should be very, very, very interesting. If that situation plays out the way many may think it will, and many the way many believe it will, and the way I believe it will, that should be very interesting to see Donovan, Vic, Redskins, Eagles. Should be interesting. The number to call is 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgin, or you can also just go to blogtalkradio.com. You should see the show on the front page as well. So, and also, you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. We're expected to be joined by former Raider and former Panthers safety, Jared Cooper. Jared writes for BleacherReport.com, and Jared will give us the lowdown on some of the other issues in the NFL, throughout the NFL. And there are some other issues going on in this league. You got the Minnesota Vikings right now, who and the Cowboys, who are struggling 0-2 right now. Teams that many expected to be Super Bowl contenders are struggling right now, and the Vikings have an opportunity and probably should get back on track next week against the Detroit Lions. They have them at home, so they should get off the 0-2 snide there, if you will. But the Dallas Cowboys go to Houston to play the Houston Texans, the 2-0 Houston Texans, who came off a comeback victory against the Washington Redskins and also a team that beat the Indianapolis Colts in week one. So this is a team that many believe is a Super Bowl contending team. You have Matt Schaub, who came off a 400-yard performance against the Washington Redskins. And you got Arian Foster, the young running back, who had a 200-yard performance against the against the Colts in week one, and has been impressive throughout this season. So those two 0-2 teams, Minnesota should win. But Minnesota should win. But the Cowboys, they may be 0-3 after this week. This is going to be a tough football game for them. So 0-3 may be in the future for the Dallas Cowboys. Many believe that the Dallas Cowboys were Super Bowl contenders. Many believed it. Many talked about it. But as of right now, I mean, they have an opportunity, a legitimate opportunity. I don't know if it's opportunity per se, but they have an opportunity to be 0-3. It's not a great opportunity if you're a Cowboys fan, but it's an opportunity nonetheless. But they could be 0-3 after this week, and that would be a surprise to a lot of people. I mean, you got the Kansas City Chiefs, who are now 2-0. They came off a victory against the Cleveland Browns, and so they're 2-0 now, and they're a surprise so far. They've done it with their defense, and they also have done it with their running game. But we'll see what the Chiefs have. They play San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are 0-2. Came off a tough loss against the New Orleans Saints. But if you look at it, I mean, you expect the 49ers to win that game, though it is an Arrowhead. But I think the 49ers will get off and win their first one. So, I mean, there's a few games. You also had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 2-0, too. And a surprise 2-0, obviously. They coming off a victory against the Carolina Panthers, and they host the Steelers, who will start Charlie Batch. Dennis Dixon will be off, I'm assuming, for 6 weeks, I'm hearing. So Charlie Batch will step in there. And so if you look at that situation, I mean, Tampa's playing well. The young quarterback, Josh Freeman, is playing very well. And so that's a team that's a surprise, and that's a team who was, at this point, 2-0, a surprise 2-0. So those are some of the surprises there. And, again, we'll be talking about some of these current issues and some of the things going on in this game with former Panthers safety and Raiders safety, Jarrett Cooper, who will definitely give us the lowdown on all things NFL. And right now, I mean, everywhere you go, you're hearing Mike Vick talk. Everywhere you go, you're hearing all this NFL talk. And it's a great time of the year if you're an NFL fan. I mean, football has surpassed baseball, obviously, as king. I mean, it is America's game in a lot of ways. And so it's an exciting time of the year. And also, you got the baseball pennant races right now. The Philadelphia Phillies, 11 games in a row, 7 games up on the Braves. After all this team has been through, injury-wise, lost Howard for an extended period of time, Ryan Howard, lost Jimmy Rollins an extended period of time, lost a lot, Placido Polanco, they lost him for an extended period of time. And throughout all that, they have found a way to get 30-some-odd games over 500 and to be in first place in the NL East. They have found a way to do it. Give them a lot of credit. Give them a lot of credit. But as of right now, it looks like their magic number is 2, and they're on their way to winning the NL East for the third time in a row. And by winning the NL East, this team is obviously the favorite going into these playoffs, and a team that many believe will ultimately get back to the World Series for the third straight year. I mean, can you really see a team out here who can challenge this team in the National League? Not many teams out here that you can say can challenge this Phillies team. So, I mean, I'm excited as a Philadelphia Phillies fan, and I believe that this team will get back to the World Series for the third year in a row. I really do. I see 3 years in a row for this team. And as a Phillies fan, obviously, this is very, 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 very exciting. And if you're a Philadelphia fan let's go to the Philadelphia fan for a moment. If you're a Philadelphia fan at this point, you got the Eagles and Mike Vick and that whole situation, and you also now have the Philadelphia Phillies who look like they're on their way to at least win the division, and if not, definitely win the division and possibly going to the World Series for the third year in a row. You got to be excited. You definitely have to be excited. And I'm excited, and I believe the crowd is excited. You cheered long enough. But, again, it's Philadelphia, man. It's a buzz. It's a buzz right now. It's definitely a buzz in Philadelphia with Mike Vick and also with this whole situation with the Philadelphia Phillies as they're on their way to winning the NL East for the third time in a row. This Philadelphia Phillies organization a lot of credit. They went out and they picked up Roy Oswalt, who solidified this starting rotation. And Cole Hamels has pitched very well throughout the season. And so you have your horse in Roy Halladay. You have a horse there in Cole Hamels. And people forget, Cole Hamels single-handedly got this team to the World Series that year in 2008 and led them to the World Series victory. He was the guy there. He was the guy there who got him there. He was the ace of that staff. And people forget about that. They forget, and it's understandable they forget because of the year that he had last season. But also now you have Roy Halladay, who's the horse, the ace of this staff. And so right now you have three aces going. And these three aces this past week against the Atlanta Braves stepped up. All three of the aces stepped up this past week against the Braves. You had Hamels, you had Halladay, you had Oswalt, who all pitched very well. And in doing so, Philly swept that series and went six games over the Braves in the NL East. And after last night, after the victory over the New York Mets, and after the Braves lost against the Washington Nationals, the Phillies are now seven games up in the National League East, and also two games for the clincher. The magic number is two. So if the Braves, who play the Nationals this afternoon, if they lose and the Phillies win tonight, then the Phillies are officially the National League East champions. But, I mean, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time before it all goes down. I would like to see this team win it as soon as possible, clinch it as soon as possible, so they can rest their big three, guys like Hamels, Holiday, and Oswald, and get them ready and get that rotation set up for the playoffs. And any team that's going to go up against that big three, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult to go up against that big three in with those guys. And so with that being said, you know, the Phillies definitely have to be your favorite going into these playoffs and your favorite to win this World Series. So, I mean, good times here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I want to switch gears now to the NBA real quick. Big trade on the table, Denver Nuggets, Carmelo Anthony. Four-team trade with the Nets, the Jazz, and the Bobcats. And Carmelo would go to the New Jersey Nets with the Russian owner and Jay-Z and those boys, and ultimately this team will eventually be moved to Brooklyn. So eventually they will be playing in Brooklyn this year. They will be playing in Newark, New Jersey. But ultimately, the situation is now you have a trade on the table where Carmelo Anthony, 14 trade, Carmelo Anthony would go to the New Jersey Nets. Derek Favors, the young rookie that the Nets just drafted this year, and Andre Kirilenko, the Jazz forward, and multiple first-round picks would go to Denver. Devin Harris would also be included in the deal, the Nets star point guard, and he would go to Charlotte. And Boris Diaw, the forward, the Frenchman, he would be going to the Utah Jazz if this trade would go down. And now the trade is dependent upon Carmelo being willing to sign the extension with the New Jersey Nets. And so, I mean, they're saying that Carmelo does want to be in the New York area. His wife, Lala Vasquez, who he recently married, is from Brooklyn. So Carmelo would be in the New York area. He'd be playing in the New York area. And ultimately, he'd be playing in New York once the Nets move to Brooklyn. So it's a great opportunity, I guess, for him if he wants to get closer to where his wife is and that whole situation. That's a good situation for him. But if you look at it in terms of, I think, championships, I mean, I would think Carmelo would be willing and would want to stay in the Denver area with the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, they recently got Al Harrington, and they had Chauncey Billups, and they also have, of course, Carmelo Anthony and those boys. So they have some talent there, and it gave the Lakers all they could handle in the conference finals a few seasons ago. So this is a team that is a team that you would think and a team that is closer, a lot closer to a championship than what he would be a part of in New Jersey. And so if this trade does go down, I mean, in some respect, Carmelo takes a step back in a lot of ways. He takes a step back. And so in taking that step back, I guess he's saying that, you know what, I'm willing to take this step back. And ultimately, and you also look at this. You got to look at this. The East is a lot tougher than it was in previous years. It might be easier to get to the NBA Finals in the West now. I mean, with the East, you have teams, obviously you have the situation in Miami with the big three and those boys. And you also have Boston, who's still there, and you have the Orlando Magic who's still there. So you're going to, and these are all young teams. Boston's a little older, but of course you got Miami who is young, and you got Orlando whose core is still young. So if you look at it, you got the Bulls. I mean, I didn't even mention the Bulls. You have with Carlos Boozer now in the mix, and Derrick Rose, star point guard there. You have a situation now where getting to the finals in the East, getting to them and getting out of the East is going to be tough. Getting out of the East is going to be tough, especially with the big three in Miami. Especially, I mean, those guys are all young. Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh, those guys are all young. And so, I mean, you're talking about a team who could be winning championships, a bunch of championships for these next 10 years, this next decade. This team could be a staple in the NBA Finals for this next decade. So you look at all that, and you're saying maybe Carmelo's best situation in terms of winning games and winning championships, maybe his best situation is in Denver. Maybe his best situation is in Denver. And it's my opinion that his best situation, if he wants to win championships, is in Denver. Is in Denver. But, I mean, ultimately, I think it comes down to Carmelo wanting to be in the area closer to his wife and where she grew up at. And also, I guess Carmelo feeling a little uncertain about the situation in Denver. He had the situation with George Karl last year, who had his situation, his battle with cancer. And after Karl went out, this team really struggled. They really struggled down the stretch after George Karl went out. So you look at all that, and maybe Carmelo is saying, maybe I need to get out of this and get out of this situation. I mean, the Nuggets had a max extension on the table for Carmelo to sign, and it was a situation. He didn't want to sign it, obviously. He wanted to move. And there was also talk that New York, he wanted to go to New York, was a destination that he wanted to go to the Knicks specifically, with Amari Stoudemire and those boys. But it looks like, judging by what we're hearing now, that he ultimately will land in New Jersey. Still working out the details of the situation, but we'll see. And also, there has been talk that he would go to the Bulls, and the Bulls were in the mix for him. But the situation was the Bulls were unwilling to part with Joakim Noah. There's their tough, rebounding, hard-working, defensive-minded power forward. And in my mind, with Joakim Noah in that whole situation, I mean, if you have an opportunity to get a guy like Carmelo Anthony, and Joakim Noah is the player that's standing in the way of that happening, to me, you got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, guys like Carmelo Anthony, who's a borderline franchise player, and many could argue that he is a legitimate franchise player, with him on your roster, you have an opportunity now to make things happen. So I don't think Joakim Noah should stand in the way of Carmelo Anthony going to the Chicago Bulls. I mean, this guy can score 20 points in his sleep. This guy can score 20 points in his sleep. So you would think more than likely, and in my opinion, that Joakim Noah cannot stand in the way of you getting Carmelo Anthony. Joakim Noah cannot stand in that way. And you can't allow your unwillingness to part with Joakim Noah to stand in the way of you possibly getting Carmelo Anthony. But training camps, NBA training camps are opening up next week. And so everybody's going to be gunning for that big three in Miami. And everybody's hating on that group right now. So it should be interesting, man, to see how this season plays out. This is a very much anticipated season coming up, especially with the big three in Miami. I mean, and I look at that Eastern Conference, man, and I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited because I see a lot of teams that are in the mix. I see a lot of teams that are in the mix. The Bulls, the Celtics, the Magic, the Heat, of course, with their big three, Boston with their big three. I mean, even Atlanta has a team that you would think maybe has improved. Now, they have to take care of that situation with Jamal Crawford and take care of that situation. But hopefully they can take – if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, hopefully they can take care of that situation, because that guy was instant offense off the bench. He was instant offense off the bench, and he was a guy who put up big numbers for the Hawks and was one of the big reasons that that team was a third-ranked team in the Eastern Conference last year record-wise. He was the reason. I mean, they won 53 games last year, and that was because of the play of Jamal Crawford. So you got to hope, if you're a Hawks fan, that they can take care of that situation. And I even forgot about, you know, obviously I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks are a championship team, but they're not a bad team either. This is a team, this is a tough team, and if you look at their roster, they have added some pieces there. With Corey Maggette, who was instant offense. They had John Salmons, who was played very big for this team down the stretch last season. Brandon Jennings, of course, the young rookie, 21 years old. He's a guy who had a great year and was in line to win Rookie of the Year. At least he battled Tariq Evans throughout the year, but Tariq Evans eventually took it over. But they've added some decent pieces, and you're hoping, if you're a Bucks fan, that Andrew Bogut comes back healthy. And so, and many believe that if this team had Andrew Bogut last season, that they would have beat the Hawks in the first round. Many people believe that. But if you look at the situation there in Milwaukee, it's an improved team. It's definitely an improved team. And so from top to bottom, if you look at the Eastern Conference real quick, the eight teams that made the playoffs last year, Cleveland obviously will be taken out. They lost LeBron, so that's a done situation there. But if you look at it, Orlando made the playoffs last year. They'll be in there, obviously, again. Atlanta, they'll be back. Boston, of course. Miami, of course. Chicago is going to be better. Milwaukee, I believe, is going to be better. Milwaukee won 46 games last year. They're going to be the same, if not better. And you look at all that. In Charlotte, you had the Bobcats who we'll see what happens with them, but they're a team who's probably will be better. And I also look at the Philadelphia 76ers and with Doug Collins in the mix. I think that's a team that will be better. I think that's a team that definitely will be better. And with the Down Bear trade, I mean, they added Andre Nocioni, who's a guy who can work it forward, who can definitely do some work off the bench. So you got some depth now. And you have Andre Iguodala, of course, and Drew Holiday, who impressed during the summer league, and you can only take so much of what you see in the summer league. But if you look at Drew Holiday and that situation, and with Elton Brand, you hope Elton Brand's a little healthier and can give you a little more. But if you look at all that, and with Doug Collins there, a guy who has improved every situation that he's been in, that's a team I believe will get back to the playoffs. I really do. So you add them into the mix as well, and that Eastern Conference is going to be tough, very, very tough. And the Knicks, I mean, they added Amari Stoudemire, so you would think on paper they would be a little better as well. So you got all these teams in the Eastern Conference who have done some work here in the offseason and who have made their situations better. So going back to Carmelo Anthony for a second, my thing is, Carmelo, are you sure this is what you really want? Do you really want to come to the Eastern Conference? Do you really want to come out to the Eastern Conference? Or are you under the belief that if you come out to the Eastern Conference and possibly the New Jersey Nets, are you under the belief that these guys can add some pieces? And in adding pieces, ultimately making you a championship contender. But if you have to see, you have to look at, you have to look at the Miami Heat situation and figure out, can you get by that? Can you get by that? And that's something definitely you have to look at in this upcoming NBA season. The number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Big talk definitely in the sports world, and has been a big talk on this show throughout the week, has definitely been the whole Michael Vick situation. And Michael Vick, again, has a great opportunity now to reshape and rewrite his legacy. I mean, the first time around, he was a guy that many touted his ability, touted his running ability, and touted his talent. But that's all they touted. They didn't tout anything else. I mean, this guy proven to be a winner. I mean, people forget. This guy's proven to be a winner on some level. People forget that this guy led the Atlanta Falcons to the NFC Championship game, and he also led them to the second round of the playoffs. People forget that. I think people forget that. They get caught up in all the running and all the other stuff. But say what you will about this guy, he has proven to be a winner in his NFL career. He has definitely proven to be a winner in a lot of ways. Now, in terms of hard work, has he put in the hard work throughout his career? No. He'd be the first to admit it. He'd be the first to admit that he was the last one in, first one out. He said it. So in terms of hard work, has he proven that? No. But this time around, it looks like he's a humble guy. It looks like he is humbled on some level. It looks like now, This guy believes and understands that this is the last chance. This mess up here is a done deal. It's a done deal. He can be a backup in this league, but he believes that he's a starter in this league. And judging by what I saw the first 2 weeks, what he believes, I believe. I believe him. I believe him. I believe the guy. And his performance last week was great. And he's proving everybody wrong. A la Randall Cunningham in a lot of ways. I mean, you look at Randall Cunningham earlier in his career, he was running, scrambling, running around, running for all types of yards. But as he matured in his game, and as he got some weapons around him, like a Randy Moss, like a Chris Carter, like a Robert Smith, like a Jake Reed. As he got the weapons around him, he became more of a pocket passer, and he became more of a polished quarterback, and he became a better quarterback. Can you equate that to Michael Vick in his situation, where now he has talent in Macklin, in Jackson, in LeSean McCoy, in Brent Celek? Can you say now that this guy has the weapons around him to do damage and become that complete quarterback that all of us thought he would never become? Andy Reid must have thought something, because he picked the guy up and he took a chance on him. He took a chance on him. And this guy, to this day, to this point, has proven that he was worth the opportunity, worth the chance. And so we'll see what happens tomorrow with Michael Vick as he travels to Jacksonville and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I expect Michael Vick to play well, and I expect the Eagles to come out on top, and I expect the Eagles to be 2-1 and the Redskins to be 2-1 because they go and face the St. Louis Rams. So I expect the Redskins and the Eagles to be 2-1 and battling for the top spot in the NFC East in week 4 when Donovan comes to town. But we'll definitely get into that next week, and we'll definitely talk about that next week because that's going to be very exciting. We want to thank Michelle Beisner from the NFL Network for stopping by, giving her insight. You can see Michelle Beisner on the NFL Network. She does Total Access as sometimes, and you can see her a lot on that particular network. And we want to thank everybody who called and everybody who listened. And you can listen to past shows on blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com Flashbegin, where you can listen to this show and other shows. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Go For It. And make sure you follow me, Go For It Gang, at Twitter. And also, listen to Passion at blogtalkradio.com/Pgang.